being All Saints Sunday and the particular focus of our thoughts being on those who have gone before us in the faith, is it not the case that when the time comes and we are ushered from this world into the next, that we greatly desire to be welcomed with these marvelous words of commendation from the lips of Jesus Christ? Well done, good and faithful servant. And we will be rewarded with hearing these grand and glorious words, but only if we were good and faithful servants. So what is a good servant? A faithful one. What is a faithful servant? A good one. This kind of servant does the will of their master, not grudgingly, but gladly, not dragging their feet, but immediately, not partially, but fully, not half-heartedly, but wholly, doing their master's bidding to the best of their ability, moment by moment, day by day, when they feel like it and when they don't feel like it, because it's the will of the master and they love him. And it is their greatest aim and desire to please him, not for their own gain and glory, but for his gain and glory. Does this describe you as a servant and disciple of Jesus Christ? A disciple being one who puts into practice what their master has taught them. Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, by their fruit, meaning their works, their deeds, you shall know whether they truly belong to me. If you truly belong to Christ, you will think like it, talk like it, act like it, live like it. You will earn like it, spend like it, give like it, serve others like it, and worship God like it. Jesus then raises a warning that there are those who think they belong to him, but who don't. They go through the motions of being his servant, his disciple, but he doesn't truly have their heart. They give him plenty of lip service, but not the life service of body and soul that bears the fruit of obedience to him, overflowing out of a heart that has given itself to him. Thus, Jesus warns in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So what is it that differentiates a true disciple from a false disciple, a good and faithful servant from a bad and faithless one, and between one who will one day hear the blessed words of commendation, well done, and the one who will hear the dreadful words of dismissal, depart from me? Only the one, said Jesus, who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many a person who claims to be a Christian, when asked if they will get into heaven, says yes. Ask them why God will let them in, and many will say, because I'm a good person. Then ask them why, if they are such a good person, why God had to sacrifice his perfect and one and only Son on the cross so that their sins could be forgiven. Sins which they wouldn't have committed in the first place if they were such good people in the first place. This should silence any protestations of personal goodness of which they are convinced and put to flight any illusion of goodness to which they are clinging. For the Bible is clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, all stand in need of a Savior who can turn sinners into saints through the forgiveness of their sins, something which only happens when sinners admit their guilt before God and turn to Him in repentance and faith. Until then, people convinced of their own goodness will defend that conclusion by comparing themselves not with the perfection of the Son of God, but against the badness of other people. On that basis, they think God should be thrilled to open wide the gates of heaven to them and overlook whatever little sins they committed over the course of their lifetime. But that's not how it works, for there are no little sins. But every sin is cosmic treason against a holy God who created them and to whom we must all one day give an account. We know this. We learned it in Sunday school. We learned it from the pulpit of Bible-believing churches and from Bible-believing pastors. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What assurance and reassurance can you have on this All Saints Sunday that you are numbered among the saints of God who will be commended for their faith in that coming day about which Jesus spoke? The day of judgment, when all men will be judged by their response to Jesus Christ, whether acceptance or rejection, whether obedience or rebellion. Well, here is your assurance and reassurance. Good and faithful servants, says Jesus, and true and commendable disciples will practice what I've taught them. Are you practicing the faith that you've been taught? The faith in Christ you profess? Are you practicing the good He's called you to do unto others in His name? You may be imperfectly obedient, but the pursuit of obedience is that after which you strive each and every day. Jesus exposed people who looked and sounded religious but had no personal relationship with Him. He warned them in no uncertain terms that it is only a personal relationship with Him and their acceptance of Him as Savior and their obedience to Him as Lord that will make them saints, whom He will recognize when the day comes to leave life on this earth behind, and for whom He will open wide the gates of heaven. Good works are the fruit, the byproduct of saving faith, not the cause of it. As Martin Luther said, we are saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. Works must follow on the heels of faith. They aren't what saves us. Salvation is not by your good deeds, as if they could ever possibly be good enough to pass the test of perfection embodied in the work and person of Jesus Christ. But His work for you on the cross is what saves you. And that alone, that is the key to your salvation and your great reward as a saint of God. It is the reward of knowing, loving, serving, and obeying Jesus Christ in this lifetime, and for all eternity, enjoying being on the receiving end of His blessing, joy, peace, and love. Anyone can profess they believe in Jesus Christ, but only the one who is possessed by Jesus Christ belongs to Him. And the only way to belong to Him is to become His blood-bought possession, purchased by His substitutionary sacrifice on the cross for you, secured by grace through faith in His name, a faith that must be personal if it is to save your soul and bind you to the Savior of men for all eternity. Thus, the most important question to ask yourself is not, am I a good Christian? But am I a Christian after all? Profession of faith is not the same as possession of faith. But if you've given yourself heart and soul to Jesus Christ, if you've cast yourself on His mercy alone to forgive your sins, if the allegiance and the loyalty of your heart and mind is directed toward and invested in Him, and if the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness is your pursuit of Him and of doing what makes Him happy, then you will be assured and can be reassured that you are a Christian, a true disciple, a good and faithful servant. For only a Christian who is the real deal will hear and respond with obedience to the teaching of Jesus Christ, unlike a phony, superficial Christian who is aptly described as a crino, Christian in name only. Externally, the life of a phony disciple and a true disciple may look similar. But the real test and the true reveal comes at the point of obeying or ignoring, following or foregoing, applying or refusing to apply the commands of Christ in your life. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Do you hear and obey, or hear and forget? Do you have a religious relationship with Jesus or a personal relationship with Jesus? A religious relationship leads to self-satisfaction, and self-satisfaction paves the road to hell. A personal relationship with Jesus paves the road to heaven. Which road are you on? Jesus said, the way is wide and leads to destruction, and many there are who are on it. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. If you are among the few, Jesus says, you can know it. You can know it because the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven is the one who will enter into heaven when the day comes. Jesus also promised, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Have you come to him in repentance and faith? Then you shall never be cast out of his presence. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Have you heard the gospel and received it with faith? Then you have already crossed from death into life. This is what makes you a saint, believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then giving proof to that faith by your obedience to Jesus Christ as your Lord. This obedience is proof of your possession of faith and goes far beyond the mere profession of faith like that of a crino, being a false faith, which will neither save nor reassure anyone when the time comes to pass from this life into the next. When that time comes, what will matter most is not whether you know Jesus Christ, but whether Jesus Christ knows you. But you need not fear, for Jesus will know you and recognize you if, by the love and faith of your heart and the fruit of your obedience to his word, your life gives proof of him as your personal Lord and Savior. The Lord and Savior who transformed you from a sinner into a saint, a sinner destined to hell into a saint destined for heaven. This doesn't mean you won't still sin. Sin will be still be part of your life as long as you're in this mortal body. But it does mean you won't actively, intentionally, deliberately, and habitually pursue or practice sinning. Instead, you will seek His help to repent of your sin, receive His forgiveness, and with every new day, strive to practice His will rather than your own, to walk in His ways rather than your own, never forgetting that religious zeal for Christ is no substitute for obedience to Christ. On this All Saints Sunday, you can take heart and be reassured that your life is hid with Christ in God, and that when the day comes, by your obedience and good deeds, which testifies to the genuineness of your faith and personal relationship with Jesus, you will be recognized by your Lord and Savior, who will usher you into His kingdom and welcome you with these glorious words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.